Hello, Les Raymond here with the Mindful Movement. Whether you are about to enjoy one of Sarah's beautiful meditations or dive into a podcast interview, I would like to remind our community that the best way to support the Mindful Movement is to support the companies that make this happen. Sarah and I are very picky about the companies we choose to work with, and we are grateful to have the relationships we have and to share them with our listeners. You can learn more about our affiliates through our website by clicking on the Favorites tab. We are excited to have recently added Sun Lighten as an affiliate. They make state-of-the-art infrared saunas, and their founder, Connie, came on for a recent interview if you would like to listen. Our Sun Lighten sauna has been a family favorite for over a decade. Some of our most popular affiliates are the Grounding Mats from Ultimate Longevity, which we sleep on every night, and the Apollo Neuro, which Sarah is now wearing daily to help manage stress. When you support these brands, you in turn are supporting the Mindful Movement and helping Sarah and I continue to devote our time to this passion. Whether you check out these companies or not, I just want to say thanks again and reiterate how grateful Sarah and I both are for all of the support over the years. I hope you enjoy the episode. Hello, and welcome to the Mindful Movement Podcast. Les Raymond here, flying solo today. It's been a while since I've done a solo sode. Nothing has really come up that I felt like I had to discuss, but recently I've had a really tumultuous few weeks. And I thought it'd be really good for me to get some stuff from the inside to the outside, and hopefully in doing so, maybe offer some help for someone else out there. Sarah and I were recently scheduled to go on a vacation, a much needed, much overdue vacation. And last minute, we had to cancel, change plans. I got a call from my father that he needed to go to the emergency room. That was 15 days ago. And he's still in the hospital, and it will be a while, probably at least a couple weeks before he's back home, if he goes home. So instead of getting the relaxation and decompression that we needed, we just got a new pile of stress added to our existing plate. But you know, that's life. Actually, no, that's not life. That's life situation. So in trying to provide maybe for myself, an application of mindfulness to this situation and hopefully offer it to others willing to listen. I guess first I want to just re-clarify something I used to discuss years ago, just the difference between life and our life situation. It could get real foggy or blurry, the line that I'd say ought to separate those. For instance, there's so many things that could arise in our life situation. And many of them could be great, and it's easy to take those for granted and to forget about being grateful for them because they're not viewed as problems. You know, sometimes we just lose sight of their value. But the things we wind up really paying attention to or focusing on or dwelling on in our life situation are the challenges, the adversities. So whether it's losing your job or losing a loved one or, you know, somebody saying something not nice to you or whatever the suffering is in the life situation, what's going on around you. But then you have your life, and your life is this moment, this breath. There's a reason meditation practices use the breath, this portal into the present moment, because this portal into your life in this moment, when your attention is on this moment, it's hard to have a lot of problems in the moment. And when our attention jumps out of that and focuses on these other things, we provide a little judgment into the recipe and we decide that there is a problem and suffering emerges. And granted, our life situation often has suffering built in. You know, life is suffering. The Buddhists, I think, had that right. And also, you could make your life in this moment suffer too. And some people can get really good at that. And I definitely have a history of getting good at that, being well practiced at that. I've gotten a lot better at practicing non-suffering, but it seems to be an ongoing dance. The recent events have been interesting. You know, I have a peppered past with my father. I love this man, and he's taught me a lot of valuable lessons. Oftentimes, the lessons that he's taught me are not really what I want, more so showing me what I don't want, and I'm in time have become equally grateful for those lessons because it shows me what kind of father I want to be and what's important to me, especially in relationship to my children and my wife. So I do love this man, and also sometimes I find it hard to like this man. I've felt like I haven't received the things from him that I think I deserved and wanted and needed. And my wife has taught me over the years and reminded me recently that sometimes we just have to mourn the loss of the parent that we thought we wanted, needed, deserved, whatever, and accept and love the one that we do have. And that could be really challenging. That could make your life situation challenging. And how you dance that challenge, how you navigate that challenge, could have a pretty big impact on your life and the thoughts and emotions and feelings that emerge in your body and the effects that those have, not just mentally or emotionally, but, you know, everything's connected physically too. Plenty of people have gotten physically sick based on the stresses of their life and their response to them. Now, initially, the stress response that I dealt with this, because I have essentially become, I'm always like the point man when it comes to my father's health. I'm the person that has to jump in gear and take care of all the things. I'm the one that's closest to him, both logistically, you know, out of me and my two sisters, and also have just been emotionally closer to him. I've been the one that he can rely on. And that's important to me. I want to know myself as the type of person that can be relied on by the people in my life, even if they're people that don't always make me feel good. You know, I want to be the one that could look past those, understand what's really important in life, and I want to know myself as someone that, especially in a time of need, I will be there. So when I jump into gear and play that role that I have, you know, had a choice to create for myself, and I have chosen and continue to choose, and I know I'm not alone in that. I know there's a lot of people out there that feel an obligation, especially in regards to being there for their parent, to give, even if they feel like they haven't received that same type of energy. It's not always an equal energetic exchange in our relationships. But as I get into gear to play that role, the stress response just emerges. It happens so fast. It's a bit of a whirlwind. There's not a lot of clarity. And I guess on some level, I just shift towards this reactive state. So I haven't sorted out what's going on in my mind. And for the first week or so, I even started to notice that the stress that I was experiencing in my life situation was starting to affect my life. And it could show up really subtly, very subtle ways, but it also could show up in a way that is really like anti what you want to be. Like, for instance, it could be a little less patient when you're in a conversation with a loved one. You know, you're quicker to react. You're a little hypervigilant. You're not as good of a listener. And I don't like that. I have a history of those things too. And, you know, the things that we feel we suck at, usually when we're expressing the sucky nature of those character traits we have, it's towards the people that are most important to us. It's towards the people that we spend time with in our life, like our family. So it sucks to be a victim of that process. And I'm not like playing the victim. I'm just saying, like, it kind of sucks that when we're under stress, we can easily, it's a slippery slope to unknowingly be lashing out and imposing some of that stress and rediverting it towards the people that we care most about unintentionally because we're under stress. The wire's been tripped. You know, we're not operating from the wisest part of our brain. And I noticed that happening. But then after several days of just being swept up in the situation and going to the hospital every day and dealing with doctors and every day is a different doctor and all the nurses, everybody's got a different opinion how to manage a situation. And that's a whole nother type of stress because, I mean, if you've listened to my work, you know, I interview a lot of, I guess would be considered people in the alternative healthcare. I mean, I am a cynic of our healthcare system or medical system. And I tell you, if you saw what I saw over these last couple of weeks, it's hard not to be a cynic. Now, it's filled with amazing, lovely people. And they can do absolute miracles in the time of need. When you're talking about someone is approaching death and you need a system to make sure that person doesn't die today, the medical system is phenomenal. But then after that, the disconnection between the departments and the people, there's no cohesion that was clear in the process that my dad was going through. It was, you know, regarding what help he needed, the medications. It was real mayhem. It's just kind of surprising. You know, in some ways, I think he got a lot worse while I was in the hospital for 15 days because of that. You know, there's aspects of the system that in some ways, even though they got some things better, I think he got worse in other ways. So that was kind of hard to see. But getting back to what I was saying, so all that was like really stressful dealing with that. And then after several days, I started to try to zoom out a little bit and observe myself through this process and apply concepts of mindfulness. I mean, I do work at the mindful movement, you know, connect with these ideas. It's like, I know what to do, but it's easy to forget to do them. So I've been doing that a little bit. And at first it was interesting because I was noticing I was having a lot of emotions and a lot of feelings about all this. And a lot of it is rooted in some of these real challenging aspects of this relationship. You know, I'm 46 years old. My dad left when I was like 4 or 5. I felt abandoned from him many times along the way. And yet here I am having to, you know, pour from my cup to help him through this time of need, which, like I said, I accept that role. I want to be the type of person willing to do that role. And also, it still stirs a lot of stuff up. And at first, it was really hard to, I don't want to say it was hard. It's not that it was hard to hold space for us all. It was like, it was kind of confusing trying to think about what I was experiencing and not categorize, but almost like organize. What are these thoughts? Like, why am I feeling this way? Why is this aspect of this process triggering me so much? Like, where is this? What is this born from? What aspect of my relationship with my dad makes me feel this way in this time? And just trying to get a grip on or identifying what emotions I was feeling, you know, and recognizing, yeah, there might still be a little resentment here. You know, everybody's been trying to help this man for a long time, with me at the top of that list, and his unwillingness to help himself, even to, you know, to a fraction of the degree that everybody else is helping him, is kind of hard to swallow. And then here at this time of need, it's like I have to give all this more on top of that. And, you know, maybe there's a little resentment, and I don't want to hold that resentment. So it's important to be able to recognize that, oh, I still have some of this, because it's hard to let go of that and grow if you're not at least shining a light on it first. You know, awareness is the first step. So I guess before the awareness is you have to pause and look for a little bit so you could become aware of these things. But I started to organize why I'm and try to understand why I'm feeling some of the things I'm feeling. And then from there, and it was more than just resentment, there's a lot of stuff in there. I'm not going to detail like all the feelings and emotions, but there's also then this process of, well, what do I want to do with these? You know, how do I want to navigate this? How do I, you know, do I want to have boundaries to protect myself so that I'm still there for my family? And this came in a lot of ways, whether it was, well, now I'm missing dinner with my loved ones because I'm in the hospital. And, you know, I'm okay doing that. I don't want to do it every day. I don't want to live by his bedside all day and just pour from my cup all day. So just identifying, like, I will go every day, and also I will sit with my kids at dinner. I will do that for me. So I will make sure I leave that hospital, regardless of the feedback I get from him around him wanting me to stay. Because, you know, I'm sure he appreciated the company. He was a pretty lonely man. So having company is meaningful and important, and I want to provide that company. And also, I have to take care of myself and my family. You know, just little things like that. And being able to identify, I need to leave at a certain time for myself and for my family. Or how, another way was just thinking about, well, how do I want to hold all this emotionally? Like, I don't want to bottle this up. Like, I'm adding a new stress every day by going and dealing with the process, you know, going through juggling all the doctor and nurse and the medications, and there's a lot of doctors involved and they all have different ideas. So it's really stressful just managing that, and he can't manage that for himself. So I'm taking that role, and that's a whole nother stress, just like a heavy workout. And, you know, stress is cumulative. So, you know, if you think of a bucket and you could handle a certain number of units of stress in that bucket before it spills over, it's okay to add units of stress to the bucket so long as you're emptying units of stress from the bucket. And that could come in a lot of ways. It could be like, you know, doing things that just feel good that are de-stressing, like relaxing or getting a good night's sleep or, you know, a good conversation with a loved one, a walk in the sunshine, whatever it looks like. But also it's like, well, how do I want to hold these things emotionally, mentally? How do I want to think about these things? That's a way too, like choosing to let go of the stress of the whole situation, of the day's dose that you've had. Like, can you let go at the end of the day of the events of the day so that you're not carrying them to the next day? Which, you know, I think it's not as easy for some people as others. I think there's individual variability of not just what our stress tolerance is and our resilience, but really like how easy it is for us or how challenging it is for us to kind of shake it off at the end of the day, regardless of what tool you're using, even if it's just like a simple, I choose to let go, or if it's, you know, physically shaking it off or using, you know, breath work, meditation, medicine, a cocktail, whatever your medicine is, you know, whatever help medicine is what helps you live, whatever your medicine is to help you deal with the stress of the day. So using mindfulness to just pay attention to how I'm holding all this stress and how I'm choosing to let it go, how I'm choosing to remove those units from the bucket from this process has been something that I found has been important that I just started accounting for. Like, it showed up in an interesting way recently. Sarah and I have had some pretty important things to talk about, some big stuff on our plate. And she's noticed that I'm under stress, and we've both, I mean, I really owe it to her, especially of paying attention to that. We've both been able to say, hey, let's not talk about this now. Let's not add a stressful conversation now that could be done another time. You know, noticing like, oh, it's been a stressful day. I just came from the hospital. We have this thing to talk about, but just having the awareness of saying, I want to talk to you about this. And also, I don't think it's smart to do right now. And me being able to recognize that, her being able to recognize that, little things like that, little strategies, I think are really useful, really important. That's not something that we considered for the vast majority of our relationship. I would say the first time we even did anything like that was, as you know, a few years ago when we would have talks about things that we generally will have, not necessarily like conflicts or like big disagreements, but in the process of working through what we think we want to do, there'd be like maybe bickering about, maybe it was something about work because we do work together, or maybe it was something about around managing the house or the property or stuff for our kids, where it's not that we're not on the same page, but, you know, they could be rocky conversations as you work towards solutions. So being able to recognize that those types of conversations, maybe they could be put off a little bit. I mean, most of my life, I would have never been aware enough to not just dive into a conversation, not really considering, well, where can this conversation go? Is there a chance that this rattles me more? And I don't want to get rattled. And I don't want to have a conversation with a loved one while I'm rattled. it's not fair to them. I mean, I love Sarah. I don't want to snap at her because we're just talking about something that we probably shouldn't be talking about right now because it's been a long, stressful day. So a valuable tool, I'd say. Maybe some of you could relate to that idea. So taking the time to pause and apply mindfulness strategies have been really helpful. You know, applying compassion has been really useful. It's like I see this man that's old and weak and sick, and part of me is like, well, you had all the opportunity in the world to make things better, and you just refused, even though everybody suggested. But then also being compassionate to understand, even though I don't agree with, you know, how you made your decisions, I understand how you got to where you are. I understand how your cumulative trauma and situation has allowed you to slide down the path you did. And as much as I, you know, wish that you treated yourself differently, I understand how you got to where you are. When you think of compassion and you think of just taking a moment to say, what is it like for them? It can diffuse a lot of the strong emotions around the situation. Now, granted, it might lead you to just feel sad and kind of have a sense of it's a little depressing to watch a loved one kind of go down a certain course. But taking the time to be compassionate and understand that they're suffering too, maybe having a glimpse of why they're suffering and how they got there, is helpful. It'll allow you to communicate with that person from a place of love and not, you know, anger, resentment, whatever negative vibration that is available waiting for you to express. And you could, you know, take the high road and express yourself in a higher vibrational form. You know, you could be a better you if you just take the time and think, this sucks, but I get it. I understand how, I don't understand what this person's going through, but I understand that they are going through something rough and I understand how they got there. So this experience has been really enlightening for me. I'm learning more about myself, and I'm at the point now that it's, you know, I'm past the reactionary period where it just kind of emerged, that I'm able to look back on the last couple of weeks and also look inward now and think about, but learn more about myself and, you know, consider how this adversity can serve my own growth. And I want to rise to that occasion, if you will. I want to become a better me because of these events. And because I have a microphone and some of y'all listen, you know, maybe it'll be helpful to somebody. I hope so. It's surely helpful to me. Say these things. I'm not much of a journaler. I don't write down I can't barely even read my own handwriting, and I don't like to spend a lot of time on a computer, but I could blab for a little bit on a mic. So this is like my journaling. But I think there's something in there. I think there's a couple things in this verbal journaling that I'm sure other people can relate to, going through something similar. So I hope it serves the world in some kind of positive way. And that's pretty much what I had to say. Let me think if there's anything else. I guess ultimately the where I'm at now, in conclusion here, is this has been a really tough couple weeks, and I want to stay open. I want to keep my heart open, not just for my father, but for myself and my family. And I want to learn how to use what lies ahead to continue to grow into what I consider a better version of myself, if that makes sense. Hey, if you're still listening at this point, thanks for listening. I appreciate your listening. I know your attention is valuable and your time is valuable. If on that note, if you do like listening to this podcast, I never really asked this, but somebody told me I should ask, maybe leave a review. Not sure how to tell you how to do that. But hey, if you left a review, that'd be cool. I appreciate your feedback. Always grateful for your listening. And thanks for hearing me vent today about this tough time. And look forward to getting back to interviews really soon. I have one that I'm excited about scheduled next week. But obviously, due to what's going on, I've been taking a little time off and looking to resume function. Thanks again, everybody. Have a great day.